Chapter 37, Fortune in Men's Eyes.
Hello, and welcome to A Cry Me Riverdale, your premier Riverdale dad-loving podcast. Here, I'm John Reisinger, and joining me is fellow dad enthusiast, Mikey Newman.
Hello, my name is Mikey Newman. I've been a dad enthusiast for going on 3 years now. It's an honor to be here, just here for the River Dads.
I want a dad enthusiast shirt. I wouldn't wear it out in the public, but it's just like to own it.
I mean, we need merch. Might as well.
How's it going, Mikey? How'd this episode sit for you?
Okay, it was really fast. Like, every scene is like two lines.
It's just like, blah, 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 blah. It's just the image of a man exhausted. In the editing. Yeah, the editor is just slamming the cut button every 5 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, I get that feeling a little bit, yeah.
But it kept the episode going, and they had a lot they wanted to go over, and a lot happened. I don't feel like it felt very whiplashy, but...
We met the Gargoyle King, who I was afraid was going to ask if he could be a knight who says me.
It looked very much like a shrubbery-looking creature.
Let's get us a shrubbery!
We met a Goblin King. You don't know if it's the Goblin King. There could be more than one.
There's reason to believe it's Ethel, and that alone is like, let's jump in, let's go. Chapter 37, Fortune and Men's Eyes, which, by the way, I think it's 1967 and 71. There was a stage play and then a movie about a man who goes to prison and experiences, let's say, a fuller spectrum of human sexuality, and we'll leave it at that.
Oh.
Sounds pretty raw. I was like, I don't think the show's gonna go here though. They might. You never know.
You think that the people who are naming this episode read the first sentence of the synopsis of the movie and didn't read anything beyond that? They were just like, oh, he goes to prison.
It's there's one sentence. Like, so I don't know. Like, that was Wikipedia, so
okay,
they're just grabbing the names they like.
There, we're back to that. We did one episode of like proper naming convention. That's all we get for another, I don't know, 37 episodes. Okay, so we start off this episode with a good old-fashioned Jug dub.
Yep.
Where Jughead basically voiceovers Archie entering juvie, getting the whole like lice treatment that I didn't know was still the thing.
Well, this show commonly borrows from other eras. Like the TV in Mad Dog's cell was like a 50s TV.
Yeah.
They're still kind of doing that, but they're like, no, juvie, it's real prison. It's hard. You get shivved for shoes.
Yeah, it did paint a very bleak picture of juvie, and although my information and knowledge about juvie is exceptionally limited, it still was a bit shocking. But again, I have nothing to compare it to. I don't actually know how juvie is.
It's Riverdale juvie, and let's leave it at that.
Yeah, and so juvie has a warden, and Archie's been called by the warden. And
movie goes straight Shawshank right out the gate.
It goes super Shawshank. He even, like, the warden even sounds like the actor from Shawshank as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just kind of welcomes him. He's got a good old fashioned Shakespearean line on the wall, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just basically him trying to break Archie, the new meat.
He's not going to. Archie's a good boy.
He's a good boy that will not be broken. But we go to Pops really quickly
for the River Dads,
where we have our weekly meeting of the River Dads. They write down their hours and take attendance and everything, and basically, nothing really hardcore, like specific, happened to this, except they're all like, them and Ronnie are just kind of reiterating they're on the plan to get Archie help and eventually out of juvie.
Right.
That's about it.
Yeah, Veronica's trying to jump in because she owns Pops now, but is also a waitress there. But going along with it.
Yeah.
Next scene is the Coopers.
Yeah, so they're leaning heavily into this canon that it was Betty had a seizure. They were just having a hibachi grill outside.
Yeah.
Not a baby bonfire.
No.
And her seizure induced hallucinations. And she's kind of already starting to buy into this because, I mean, to be fair, what's easier to believe, that you had hallucinations from a seizure because you had the seizure, or you saw people drop your nephews into fire. No, nephew and niece, because they're a boy and a girl, into fire, and then they floated. So it's easier to believe that she dreamt the whole thing. Not dreamt the whole thing, but missaw.
Sure. She walked into a True Blood orgy and was like, hey, so this happened. She does call them out on it.
Yeah.
But before she can really relitigate that, Jughead calls.
Yeah.
Because Dilton's dead.
Dilton's gone.
He's a dead boy. Sorry.
R.I.P. Dilton. We miss you.
Do we?
I don't think so, but I mean,
don't even remember. I feel bad. But
I have forgotten his name at least 4 or 5 times in this show's entire run.
Dilton Doily.
Doily.
Good name.
But our good new friend, Ben, who was the other kid that was face down in the dirt, he is holding on, although they both were drinking from a chalice with poison.
Yep.
Which is a game I love to play in the woods with my friends.
It's common. It's a age old kind of just rough and tumble. I drink the poison. You drink the poison.
Yeah.
One of us is killed and one of us, is hospitalized and mentally damaged by the, no, actually that sounds not, don't do that. Sorry. Don't do that.
I'm glad you disclaimered that one. Cause I'm really
glad
worried.
We jumped on that one before it got out of control.
Jughead wants to do a good old-fashioned investigation, and it feels like every time that he brings up that kind of subject, he gets really, really excited. Like, I think that's all Jughead is ever looking for, is the next thing to investigate.
These kids are addicted to drama.
They are.
Which their parents are starting to realize, which we'll get to in a bit. But.
Yes. So they're going to go to the coroner's office and, you know, bribe the coroner like they've done plenty of times in the past.
Yep.
To see Dilton's body or get a reading from it. We go to Juvie, where Archie is introduced to his cellmate, Mad Dog, who is built like a literal tank. KJ Apa is already an unrealistic body type.
He looked tiny comparatively.
Right. And so we've already got that standard reset of like, yeah, this is not a high schooler's look. And then they present Mad Dog, which is like, what is that? And how are you presenting that as something of a juvenile? Because that is what Juvie is. This is a place for juveniles. And juveniles are not like set up to be warriors in D&D battles. Like that, he's huge. But he doesn't talk at first. He's a quiet type. He's got to do his pull-ups and everything while Archie's trying to gab, gab, gab. And the only thing he makes a comment about eventually is that Archie has nice shoes.
Yeah, which our currency at this prison, Archie's nice shoes.
Yeah.
Specifically, he warns him like, hey, somebody's going to take those.
Yeah.
It's hot kicks.
That's apparently what everyone wants because no one's going for smokes in Juvie. But we go to school. And so we're having this kind of little bit of a quarrel with Ronnie, who thinks that because Archie won the presidency, but now he's in prison, that then because she was a running mate, she gets to be president. But then the principal's like, nah, dude. Cheryl.
Sounds just like Sierra. Is she here?
That's not Sierra. Remember, it's a...
Oh, wait. Principal is...
Principal is...
Yeah.
Other principal... Oh, what's his name? Principal...
It doesn't matter.
Principal Nah Dude.
Nah Man.
Principal Nah Man says Cheryl has stepped in to put her hat in for being president instead, which I guess that's an option.
Sierra's just back to being a lawyer. I'm trying to like place everyone where they are.
Sierra's
because everyone like switched jobs and
Hermione is mayor.
Hermione's mayor.
OCP is unemployed.
Yeah, everybody talks about him like the bad old days at the sheriff's department where they don't like good police work.
No, they're super not good police now. We thought they were bad before.
We really thought they were bad. And the show's like, no, hang on.
We can do worse. Give us a shovel. Okay, so when Ronnie and Cheryl have a bit of a quarrel, Cheryl kind of like cleverly brings up the whole Jackie O example of like what happened when her husband got killed. She didn't become president. But then Josie's behind her and brings up like, yeah, then Lyndon B. Johnson became president and took us to Vietnam War. So not a good example of like how things shake out. But it doesn't really resolve, but that's just going to be a conflict that will kind of live on a little bit in this episode. We go to the yard, the juvie yard.
Adam Sandler was warming up, ready to hit that longest yard.
I like
rest
how you referenced
Burt Reynolds.
Referenced Adam Sandler's longest yard prior to the original. But actually,
that was the bit, though.
Right. To be honest, the longest yard I've seen is the Adam Sandler one. I have not seen the Burt Reynolds one. And
Burt Reynolds is in both of them.
Oh yeah, but I have. But
what's up? No, he doesn't.
It's almost like you have a movie show. You do.
I do. Check it out. YouTube.com/filmjoy. Hit me up.
There's the plug. So
the one plug in like 40 episodes. What else are we using the show for?
You're not allowed to plug your stuff.
Don't go to YouTube.com/filmjoy.
Don't. Whatever you do, do not go to YouTube.com/filmjoy. Archie finds the serpents in the yard, and he thinks he's got an easy in because he's got that sweet tat. But,
except
Joaquin is there, and Joaquin's like a royal tool. I don't know.
Bring me the royal tool. Oh, Joaquin, you got it. You got it, boss. Bringing him in.
Sir Royal Tool arrives, and he was the son of Peter O'Toole. And so Joaquin is like, no, he's not going to vouch for Archie. In fact, he kind of says Archie is not a serpent until Archie takes a shiv. To a ghoulie that's just like hanging out by the fence and playing with the fence. Like he's not even like trying to look hard or anything. He's just in La La Land on his own.
Well, for a second, I mean, he steals Archie's shoes like.
Right.
20 seconds later.
But at the time, he's just asking him to cold turkey shove a sharp object into another human being he's never met before on the first day at juvie. And Archie is a good boy and says no and doesn't like try to negotiate. He just flat out says, I don't need your protection and walks away.
He's like, nah.
But he did need their protection. But we go to the coroner's office where we have a new casting. The coroner is dead, apparently. And his son is a new creepy coroner that we get to play around with that takes bribes. Lucky. And so Bughead are there, and they find out there was cyanide in Dilton's blood.
With blueberry Kool-Aid.
Yeah, there was like the blue lips are from a sugary drink that they mixed it with. That's what they both had blue lips and both had signs of some sort of struggle, which was the not struggle, but quarrel because they had runic symbols on their backs, which is what confirmed.
Which is a sign of quarrels, if I've ever seen one.
If you've got anything of like intent carved into you, that was a quarrel happened.
My favorite thing is this coroner when he's looking down at it, like loses all chill because he's not like a million right away, but he looks down and he's like, these boys have seen the true face of evil.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Didn't know true evil was coming to the, okay.
If he had the jump to conclusions, Matt from Office Space in front of him, he would
triple
have
jump to conclusions.
He would have leapt way over it and not even looked back. It was a little melodramatic. And then we go to a quick, like...
Excuse me, sir. After he says the true face of evil, we get Riverdale. Whoosh.
At this point, I intentionally don't write down when that happens because I just
assume... I have one job on this show. You run us through everything and I just sit here. I have one job. God damn it.
Your job is also to make fun of me if I ever say Royal Tool.
A royal tool. But now we're to the dark room.
Yeah, for like negative 2 seconds, where all Jughead does is develop film of the runes.
What we already saw. Yeah.
And he just kind of quizzes over them a little bit. But we go to an odd setting where Archie is at the juvie music room that the warden told him about at the beginning of the episode. I don't really know why he told him about it. But he's there and he's playing his music, and then the ghoulies come in, and Archie doesn't like recognize them at first, but turns out these are the ghoulies that he screwed over when they were doing the drag race. So they not only don't like him because he's not a ghoulie and sort of a serpent, but also because he screwed them over. And he's literally the reason, like Batman-esque, why they're in juvie.
Yep.
So they want his shoes. And
they take his shoes.
They do more than take his shoes. They rough him up, too. And then they're very specific. They say, don't touch his face. I guess that's so you keep that, like, you can't see the markings so they can't get in trouble.
Well, it's also like when he's visiting family and stuff, because they know he's not going to tell them. He like has to sit awkwardly.
Yeah.
They deal with some of that in the episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally after that, Ronnie visits, Archie covers up all of the stuff and even like gives segues to the conversation to like tangents over to like, oh, tell me about school. How's the presidency going? And Ronnie doesn't have a really good answer for that because she's in a quarrel with Cheryl about it. We're going to jump to the newspaper.
Betty on the phone ask about, I believe Ben is the friend currently in ICU.
And now he's out of ICU. So he's available for visits, which is what she's going to head over to. And then we're introduced to another new character. We got a few new characters. Evelyn Evernever, who is from the farm. What did you flash that to me for?
It was a chef's kiss for the wonder of...
Okay,
Evelyn Evernever.
She's a farm girl, and she was there at the hibachi grill / baby burning. And
hibachi baby burn.
Yeah, no, hibachi babies. They're so tender and wonderful. She introduces herself and then brings up that she knew about the seizures. And Betty kind of just excuses herself from this whole interaction and leaves to go visit Ben.
Cut to Kevin and Moose in the smallest C-plot ever. It's given literally two lines. Kevin walks up and kisses Moose, and Moose is like, yo, my dad's right there. So, like,
yeah.
X-nay, where he's still kind of closeted with some people.
Yeah.
Which is at your own speed, so understandable from all angles.
Yeah, it's kind of like the two sides of this coin are is that Moose is allowed, obviously, to come out at his own speed, but on the same side, Kevin, I think, feels led on a bit by Moose and doesn't like to be the boyfriend in the closet. And so they're both dealing with stuff, and they both, I think, have valid reasons to feel how they're feeling right now. But yeah, it's, they get this.
The show's not going to deal with them though yet.
No, cause there's three times this episode they show up, and I think it's a cumulative about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So Moose is like, my dad's there. He's going to be head of the RROTC and no more hanky panky at school. So then we go to Pops. Yeah. Cheryl shows up with a bunch of vixens, and immediately Ronnie tells her she's not welcome there anymore because she's stealing her presidency. And so
Cheryl, I was so confused on if that was like traditional beef or new beef. I'm like, there's so much beef on this show.
Yeah.
But this is new beef for the president thing.
And luckily, this beef kind of gets squashed in this episode, which I appreciated, that it wasn't like going to be something that was going to be strung along for a while, that Ronnie and Cheryl are going to be like enemies again.
Well, I think it's important that they make amends really quick because Cheryl is their bowman.
Yeah.
For their late night shenanigans. They need the bow.
They got to have a sniper. And so... Yeah, Cheryl excuses the vixens and suggests that Ronnie, because she finds out it's about the presidency, and suggests that Ronnie, instead of focusing on the presidency, focus on Archie's innocence, and gives her a tip about the Innocence Project, which gives Ronnie a new project to work on, and actually a pretty good project to work on. We go to the hospital.
Yes, Ben's room.
Yep, he's stabilized, but he's not woken up. And Bughead meets his mom and kind of slip past the cop to get into the room. And his mom is just as confused as them, said he was a good boy, but he became a different person after he befriended Dilton.
Kind of a nice callback where she just casually drops that, yeah, he took it really hard when his music teacher got murdered. And I was like, ooh, directly involved. Directly involved. Ooh, ooh.
It is nice that the show does, like, acknowledge that a lot of these kids have a lot of reasons to be a little screwed up right now and to maybe be getting into things that are not normal, healthy projects or pastimes. So Jughead then notices that there's this little doll talisman on the door, which looks very, you know, Blair Witch Gargoyle King-esque. But before he can resolve that, because the mom says that the girl brought that in. So they're like, there was a girl here, so there's a new person, a new lead.
Immediately they're like, that sounds like Ethel.
Yeah. Oh, because Ethel brought up something about the Gargoyle King in the last episode, I think.
Ethel spends all of her weekends at Hot Topic asking people when they walk in, do you know about Invader Zim? And when they don't know, she tells them. It's a very common thing for people to do at Hot Topic.
Someone has to do it, okay? So
it's a dumb job!
Somebody's got to do it. Every, you know, Hollister has people spraying perfume on people, and Hot Topic has people screaming at them about Invader Zim, okay?
Yep.
We have to have our shtick. Sheriff shows up. Bad sheriff. And tries to kick out Bughead, but then before he can kind of resolve that, an officer comes in and reports that there's another missing kid from the same troop from Dilton, and they need to go find him.
And we don't know the identity of this kid yet.
No, just that he's right from the troop. Go to the mayor's office where Ronnie is talking to her mom about the Innocence Project chapter in Riverdale she wants to start and ask for an endorsement. And Hermione surprisingly like acquiesces to this and kind of gives Ronnie the go-ahead to do that. And Hermione hits her up for like money as well. But
they've done really good with Hermione this season, not really showing us which side her loyalties lie.
Yeah.
Like, Ronnie and Hiram are at like apocalyptic odds.
Yeah.
And in the middle, there's Hermione and she has to run a town now. So it's interesting seeing her play this all so, so close to the vest.
I am hoping that she is like a developing character this season in the same way that like Cheryl has developed and Alice Cooper, where they really kind of give a little bit more screen time to her and what could happen about her character this season.
Whereas Hiram is Lex Luthor at this point.
Oh, he is a royal tool.
Yeah.
So we go to school where Bughead, they question Ethel about the doll.
Mm-hmm.
Ethel is like, ooh, doggy. She is.
That's magic. Oh no.
She's really bought into this whole Gargoyle King. Wait, Gargoyle King? Yes.
Gargoyle King. Yeah.
And says the talisman was not there to hurt Ben. It was there to protect what she called her boyfriend, which Ben is her boyfriend, apparently.
More on that soon.
More on that soon, on the validity of that statement. And Dilton apparently had a secret bunker in the woods that they all were hanging out in. And so they decide to meet up for her to show them where the bunker is because she can't tell them where it is.
Yeah. I mean, she says she'll show them, but yeah, it's kind of a it's not often you have a friend be like, yo, my friend's got this dope secret bunker in the woods. Oh, that's troubling. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
But they're going to go hang out a secret bunker in the woods.
Yeah. So then we go to Juvie. Mad Dog gives a speech about how Archie needs to survive in juvie because he lost his shoes. And basically, it can be summarized in three words. Be an animal.
Yep.
Before they treat you like an animal.
No.
Yeah. But, Mad Dog is the wizened old juvie member to give him some tips.
Which is really, like, how long you been there, dude? It's juvie.
I think he said, like, well, he said later on that his parents...
Been here since I was 14 years.
The maximum amount.
My friend.
That 2 years ago is when his girlfriend and mom were not allowed to come anymore, so he's been there for at least 2 years.
Yeah, and he's about to move to a bigger facility.
Yeah, which I guess sounds like he was going to age out of the juvie system.
Yep.
Which,
judging by his pecs alone, makes a lot of sense because...
he's actually Christmas 11 years hands. Old. But... even though he's that young, his size warrants they need to move him.
Gotta move him.
We go to the Coopers, where the parents are upset. FP and Alice are upset at Bughead for snooping around.
Yeah.
And Alice lets slip that Betty had a seizure. She doesn't want to have her have another seizure because of stress. This is news to Jughead. But before he can join Betty as she storms upstairs. FP then takes Jughead home.
Yes.
Go back to juvie. Just whipping back and forth.
There, yeah, the editing of this episode, my God. I mean, it's really well written and really well constructed. It's just right. It's really hard to do the recap.
It goes juvie Coopers, like that, like in the next, these four scenes in a row.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Ronnie brings Archie new shoes at juvie, and Reggie gives him updates on football, which gives Archie the idea that he should host a football game. I'm not really sure why he was hosting the football game.
They wanted to get the idea of football into Archie's head so that he turns around and says, let's host a football game. Like, because he sees the camaraderie and the teamwork, and he's like, maybe I can use this as an ability to, like, turn some of these young boys around. I thought it was an okay idea, having a football game at the... But we're getting to that.
I think I just might have missed some of the text as why he was going to host a game. But then
Riverdale, no subtext, just text.
Okay. Just text. Archie wears his new shoes to the yard, where he gives a speech about holding a football game. And he is, before he's kind of like shot down by the ghoulies and the serpents about this idea, Mad Dog and his abdominal muscles back him up. And Archie even sweetens the deal by saying the MVP gets to win his cool new kicks.
For my school.
Yeah, they are colored.
You presumably may or may not have gone to. So I don't know.
The warden, but
yeah, he's got hot new kicks. He's going to give them away.
Yeah, and the warden watches all this from afar. So that gives you kind of the idea that something bad's going to happen, because the warden's not a good guy.
He's a schemer.
Go to the Coopers. Whoosh. And... I kind of have a nice scene with Alice where she kind of pulls out the genuine mom card, and
there she is,
the Alice that we love, that's not crazy and culty, and she apologizes about spilling the seizure secret and is just legitimately scared for Betty. She's like, if Alice actually believes that, you know, all it was that Betty had a seizure, then it would make sense that Alice be worried that her daughter would have another seizure from stress.
And Alice obviously knows that she's, like, gaslighting the hell out of her, because she knows exactly... She floated a baby in fire. Like, she's aware that she's gaslighting her daughter, and she kind of eased up for a second.
Yeah. Betty sneaks out of the house, though, after her mom leaves, because she's going to go...
Yeah, didn't ease up enough.
No. She's going to go meet Ethel and hang out with the good old Gargoyle King. Which
Gargoyle
is where we go.
Gargoyle King into your bashes. Those are the parties I remember.
Yep.
Dude put away 12 MGDs one night. No joke. Gargoyle King for life.
MGDs. Oh, you and your acronyms.
I'm sorry. Do you always say Miller Genuine Draft?
No, I don't reference them ever, because I don't think I've ever had a Miller Genuine Draft in my life.
John admits he's never lived. Okay, got it. Got it. Understood. So Betty and Jughead are in the forest having a good time.
We're just gonna gloss over the fact that the metric of living a life is drinking a Miller Genuine Draft, and we're just going straight to the woods.
So they're talking about their horror movie True Blood party, and the Gargoyle King just, like, middle of the scene is like, what's up? Like, he just emerged. It was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah. It was like if Groot had been turned into some sort of horror monster. And they do the thing that I would do, which is run the hell away from whatever this is.
They take a few extra seconds to, like, discuss. Maybe we should... It's like, no, just run.
GTFO. And they go to... The show goes to Pops, where that's where they retreated. And Jughead has Dilton's drawing of what they saw. And they conclude it was too tall to be Ethel. We'll see if that's just kind of a misdrawn conclusion or not. But they kind of realize that the map is pretty accurate, that he had gotten from Dilton, and that it might have a way to the hatch, which is where they'll meet up with the cast from Lost.
I have the same joke written down. I was like, we're going straight Lost here, aren't we?
Oh, I mean, they have that shot looking down the hatch. That it might as well have been John Locke and everything.
We have to go back.
Yeah, 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. So we go to juvie, where Archie talks about his football game with Ronnie, and he brings up that he's it's his turn to give Ronnie an idea, and he brings up that if anybody ever needed a pep rally, it's these misguided youths.
Yes.
But then we go to the locker room. That's like a 5-second scene. And then we go to the locker room where Ronnie secedes the presidency to Cheryl and instead wants to ask Cheryl help with this pep rally idea.
Prison pep rally. Nothing can go wrong. Children, gain chill. Just I beg you.
For 2 seconds, maybe do some homework or like play some Xbox. No one plays Xbox in this world.
New Mario Party is real good on Switch. Just throw it out there. Play Boo. He's great.
Get the new Spider-Man game. It's pretty fun, too. We're back at Pops where Moose shows up with his RROTC boys, and he blows off Kevin again.
Yeah.
That's about it. We go to Juvie, where Mad Dog can't play because he's got to go do stuff for the warden. He kind of spills his story about why he acts the way he is and why he's there and about the whole, like, he doesn't give all the details, but he talks about how, like, the warden, like, took control of his life, essentially banned his family, and that he's on his way to a real prison soon. So, not a fun story.
Yeah.
I hope there's more to Mad Dog than just this episode.
It better be. Now we cut back to the hatch.
Where John Locke, Bughead, are going down into the bunker.
They find Desmond, I believe, Desmond King.
He's making a strawberry protein shake and listening to records on his exercise bike.
Yep.
There's talismans hanging everywhere in the bunker. They find game pieces from, what did they call their Dungeons
and
Dragons?
Griffins and gargoyles.
Yes. There was also a reference to TGI Thursdays at one point.
Oh, yeah, Cheryl, I was like, that. Just say Thursdays. Like, you don't need to, like, we got it. We got TGIT. It. You don't need to push it that hard.
So then, Betty finds, they're like looking through everything. They find the whole, like, this whole challenge sign about, like, that the whole chalice thing was this whole challenge of, like, one of you will drink the poison, one of you won't. Fun game. But Betty finds a dude under the bed, and it scared me when I watched it. I was not expecting.
They went for the jump scare and straight to commercial. It was like, bye.
Yeah. A camoed faced kid under the bed really freaked me out. It's the kid that was missing from the troop. Dilton had told him to stay there until he came back, which is why that kid's been there for a little while. He was apprenticing under Dilton so that he could eventually play Griffins and Gargoyles.
This is a serious game.
It's a very serious game to apprentice into it.
Wow.
He also spills that Ethel was only Ben's girlfriend in the game, and that Ethel had been the one who came and warned him about enemies that would be coming.
But that might be the kid's understanding. So I'm still giving Ethel some benefit of the doubt that, like, outside of the game, they might be secretly.
Yeah. Well, considering
I'm Team Ethel. Yeah. For Ethel.
I mean,
Shannon Purser.
In her defense, as serious as she takes this boyfriend situation, it's about as serious as Ben takes the rest of the game as well. So this may have been a very real situation considering how real he takes it at the end of the episode.
Right.
We go back to the Juvie game where they're having football. Archie gets like,
they have to tell, did you bring up, they told him Dilton was dead?
Yeah. Yeah. They told him Dilton's dead. He's not going to be coming for him.
Prison football time.
Yeah. Archie gets tackled for realsies. And then the Vixens show up, and Josie sings Jailhouse Rock.
They all kind of do alternate.
Yeah.
They just, all sound rules are off at this point.
And from what I can tell, the entire prison yard approaches the fence and sort of starts gyrating with the fence. The fence is
shaking a lot. They're kind of doing it.
Yeah, they're getting riled up in quite possibly the loinal region. And what they do with that energy is they go finish their game while the Vixens are still singing.
Yeah, they like leave like halfway. They were trying to do like use this song to do a montage thing, but it ends up being they just turned around and were like, cool, bye.
Yeah, We who are in an all-boys prison are going to leave looking at the girls who are dancing outside of our fence. We've had enough. Goodbye. But our favorite Lex Luthor man shows up.
Yeah, Hiram shows up, and Hiram and the warden immediately have a connection wordlessly.
Cool.
Not great.
Yeah, the warden invited him to this game. And Hiram goes, hey, guess what, Ronnie? You can't visit Archie anymore. I've blacklisted you, thanks to my good buddy, the warden.
This feels like a pretty easy one to prove, because at this point, Hiram is now paying a warden to beat up children, which... That one, especially the number, because they beat up the entire football game.
Yeah.
Bad. Like, they hit him bad.
The warden calls out literally the riot police.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like a 20-year sentence right there, bud. So don't beat children. Don't do it.
Hashtag don't beat children. Archie does get some swings in, like some good swings in. Like, he levels a few of the riot police.
Yeah, but at that point, I'm like, Archie is now hitting police. What are we supposed to think about this? I have complex feelings.
Yeah, the police are wrongfully approaching him with nightsticks, and yet he is in prison. And so I don't know if this is helping the situation that he decks three of them to the floor.
Oh, definitely not. I will draw that line. Not helping. Not helping at all.
Yeah. So the riot police do their thing, and then back at his cell, Archie is informed by the warden that Mad Dog died in the riot, and now Archie is his new Mad Dog.
Which Archie calls out immediately. He's like, he wasn't even there. So I'm hoping Mad Dog just got shipped off, because if you killed him, warden, we're going to have a couple words.
Yeah, we only got to meet him for
written
so long.
Written on bullets.
Each word on a bullet.
Both words.
Pops is where we go next.
Yep, with Cheryl Ronnie and Cheryl.
Yeah, basically Cheryl just goes, there's a way to get past this whole daddy thing. Just get fake IDs. I got them with Tony when we went cross country on our motorcycles. That's about it. Go back to school, where Bughead confronts Ethel, who is in absolute denial.
Oh, yeah, drinking the Kool-Aid hard.
Yeah, also scared of, like, a him. We don't know who this him is, but she's scared.
Which isn't the Gargoyle King?
It might be.
That's where my brain leaned, but...
Something about the phrasing made me think it might have been someone else.
My impression was she said too much, because when she was talking about this he and implying it was Gargoyle King, she also immediately has a seizure. So this is two episodes in a row with a seizure.
Yeah, she starts talking about Dilton even specifically, and then has a seizure. And what we see in the background is Evelyn is there watching.
Evelyn ever.
So there's one person who's, other than Betty, who's been at both seizures, and that's Evelyn.
Yes.
So that's a bit of a constant.
Back to Archie on a prison visit. And Ronnie is wearing the worst disguise I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's Monica Posh with the Innocence Project. And
I mean, she was like one step away from like walking in and being, hello, I'm Monica Posh. Hello, I'm from the England. And everybody's like, no.
She just starts throwing fish and chips at everybody. And
you get the fish and chips. And you get the... No, it wasn't. A home run. I feel pretty good saying that.
Yeah. That's about all that happens in that. And then we go to RROTC, where Kevin joins and kind of pulls a major power play with this. And
I'm feeling moose on this one, man. If you're trying to get some space and they follow you into RROTC,
no, this ain't going to end well.
Yeah, that's not a great opening move. I want Kevin and Moose to figure their stuff out, but they need some space, I think, for a second.
What if we did it without manipulation? What if?
What if, children?
We go to Juvie, Warden visits Archie, and Archie asks more about Mad Dog, and this is specifically where the Warden taps him as his new man. So
yep.
Archie has a job.
He's now Mad Dog.
We go to the mayor's office, where we have a very mysterious meeting of all the parents are gathered. All of our main character parents are gathered.
FP, Fred, Hermione, Sierra, Actually, even Cheryl's mom is there.
OCP's there.
Yeah, they're all there.
And they all are privy about what's been going on with the kids, to the extent of that it's, there was blue lips and that's a bad omen. That means that these kids are partaking in something that happened in these parents' past. It's a secret long ago.
Yeah, it's like a very I Know What You Did Last Summer vibe through this whole thing.
I mean,
I don't like that Fred is part of it. Like, Fred is clearly culpable in this situation. And I was like, Fred.
Something happened.
Fred, I have a band on my arm, sir. Be Fred, Fred.
Respect the band.
Respect the band, Fred.
Even OCP is at the, with all this happening, still says they all need to be sticking to this pact that they made to never talk about it, never reference it, and everything like that. But Hermione is worried about the children.
Yep.
So the parents know something's going on.
They look around. They're very curious kids. So
it's a very mysterious scene. We go to the hospital for the final scene of the episode, where Bughead decide they have another mystery on their hands, or it could be the same one because of Ethel's like a seizure. And so they decide that they need to go check on Ben. And Ben is hanging out on the windowsill.
Yeah, we know where this scene's going, and it's not fun.
The minute you saw where he was, you were just like, cool.
You look at the mental state of the person, too. Like,
nah.
Ben's ready to go. It's rough to watch.
Yeah, I think his first line, he says he's going to go be with Dilton now, and that's not a good thing to say.
Yeah, it's a little on the nose, Ben. All right.
He like even references that they flipped a coin as to who was going to be drinking out of what chalice.
Yeah.
And that Dilton ascended. And his final words after they protest him is that he says, soon you'll fly too. And he flies, not very far. And he hits a car, which sounds like at the bottom of the hospital.
Dark ending for Riverdale, because they smash cut right out of that to Riverdale.
Yep. So our child death counter is at 2 at this point for this season.
I mean, it is Riverdale, which is like... It's a murder mystery show, I guess, is the sort of lane. Because I wasn't sure if they would evolve it beyond that, but no, it's just, it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer with the big bad and whatever else.
Yeah, it is.
Archie characters.
Yeah.
Which I'm here for. It's hilarious.
Same.
So, Star Riverdalian of the week. This one's a tough one.
This was a tough one. As everyone got... Like, everyone got time, but no one got major time.
No one did anything inherently really good. They just dealt with... But a lot of kids were dealing with... Like, for example, I gave this week to all Scoobies. So Archie, Veronica, Betty, Jughead, they... And we now know that their parents are working against them.
Yeah.
So keep your head in the game, Scoobies. I'm here.
Yeah. If I had to pick one... I'd say Archie dealt with his situation the best out of all of them.
The situation he put himself into by being like, send me to jail, please. One jail right here. Give me the jail.
Essentially. I mean, he really...
But he's dealing with that decision for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I almost want to just give it to Mad Dog because I really liked Mad Dog and I want to know more about his character.
I'll accept a Mad Dog. He needs something.
I'll give
him
Mad Dog.
Might only be in one episode.
Yeah, just in case he's in one episode. This week is my Star Riverdalian is Mad Dog. And I hope he flies back to us soon. But
was the implication there that dogs fly? I really lost track of that metaphor.
I don't have a metaphor for Mad Dog. How do we end this episode?
Butts! You gon' get